So I had a boss when I worked at camp who, whenever he would like sit down, his hip would come out of joint.
Oh, good God. It would dislocate every time?
It would dislocate. So he would have to like kind of like lean against his desk and stand up and like shift.
Wiggle.
And like it would like pop back in. And I was like, what are you going to do about this? This is a big deal. We work at a summer camp.
Yeah, you can't live like this. This is not good.
And he's like, I don't know. Get it taken care of next fall. It's like 9 months away. It's like, well, I want to get through summer.
Sure.
I'm like, that's insane, though.
All summer long, you're going to like do this little move every time you stand up.
He's more of an office guy. Hey, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me as well. Pastor Nick Nazaroff.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And no Elise McCarter.
No, she's here. She just can't speak, so she's sitting silently, cheering us on. Yes. Thanks for being here, Elise.
That's her grunting.
Kermit the Frog?
Maybe Yoda?
Tough to say.
Yes, a victim of sickness.
Allegedly. I'm just saying, if you send a text message saying you have no voice, that does not prove to me that you're really sick.
That's true. What do you need?
I don't know.
FaceTime?
Probably.
I have no voice.
Yeah, that's
You need to
right.
hear it?
Yeah.
You need to hear the raspiness?
Yep. Yeah. Or a doctor's note. That'll do it for me.
Yeah, that's one thing we need to bring in the doctor's note here.
For this podcast on which you volunteer.
Proof of illness, okay? Our listeners demand and deserve better.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll post your doctor's note on the website. So.
Yes, yeah, we want. Yeah. They are demanding all of our medical histories. You know, give the people what they want.
That's right. They definitely are not asking for that, so that's okay. All right, what's up? What do we got? What's our news story today?
Okay. Do you... You know, we're talking about Duolingo.
I love Duolingo.
Do you use it?
I do.
Are you a daily user?
I am a daily user.
Are you though?
I am.
Okay. I'm not. I don't use it.
I pay for Duolingo at this point.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because now you got to pay for it, right?
Yeah.
Like,
so
the free is now like not even really a thing.
Yeah. So a couple years ago, I started paying for it. I use it every day. I have used streak freezes periodically, right? But they're minimal, right? Yeah. So I go, you know, 2-3 months straight, pretty consistently.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, but then I like go on a mission trip or something, and yeah,
sure.
I'm not allowed to use my phone in Denali National Park.
Well, I think that's the
right. I had no cell service.
Yeah.
At any rate, yeah.
Well, I don't know if you knew this, though.
All right, what do we got?
Duo
is an owl.
Has died.
What? Yeah. Oh, no.
Duo is their mascot.
Yeah.
And he's an owl, or she, I don't know. And they died.
Was Duo a real owl?
No, Duo is this is according to their social media.
Okay.
Duo is dead.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the mascot Duo has died. Authorities are currently investigating its cause of death, and we are cooperating fully. The app shared across social media. This was on February 11th. This is breaking news.
Yeah. Hot off the presses as of day of recording. Yeah.
Yeah. We're aware he had many enemies.
Really?
We kindly ask that you refrain from sharing why you hate him in the comments. I don't know. You're the user.
Well, see, here's the problem. I appreciate Duo and his reminders. I could understand that not everybody values his little pop-up saying like, hey, you only got 2 hours left today. Like, not everybody likes that. So maybe there are people out there who want it. Maybe, you know, some people loved Clippy and some people hated Clippy,
maybe
right?
It was Clippy.
maybe it was Clippy. Or maybe he's now in, you know,
maybe
mascot purgatory with Clippy.
These,
I don't know.
You know, celebrities die in threes. Maybe
yeah.
Social media mascots.
Okay, so we've got Clippy. We've got Duo. Who would be the third social media mascot? Is
I don't
there
know.
A third
the
social
Twitter bird?
Yes. That bird is dead because it's X. The bird is gone.
Yeah, it's been, yeah. There you go.
So Duo is the third.
All right. Duolingo also equipped, to be honest, he probably died waiting for you to do your lesson, but what do we know?
Zing.
Okay. Wow, giving a little...
a little sass with the death announcement.
This is like, I mean, is Duolingo like they're like 10 years old and they're like get sent to the room like, well, what if I just died up here without eating dinner?
Exactly.
They'll be sorry.
That's right. I'll show them
by dying.
Yeah. You get that call from your parents like, yeah, your grandma passed away probably because you didn't call her. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm the reason grandma died.
This is definitely it. Yeah. Duo died because you did not do your lesson.
Yeah.
They do want to ask.
Okay. What are they asking for?
That you appreciate respecting Duo Lipo's privacy at this time.
Dua Lipa's?
Do you know who that is?
That's the singer.
Yes.
From Peru, right?
I don't know. I could probably identify her.
But didn't we have like Peruvian friends who were super? I thought they were into her because she was Peruvian.
That's true. I do have a Peruvian. No, Peruvian. They love Dua Lipa.
I believe
Dua and Dua Lipa, you know, they got the same name, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe they have a romantic relationship. I'm not sure.
Well, you know,
sure.
David's and Dan's were basically the same too. So it's fine. It's, yeah.
Well, Duo and Dua Lipa.
Yeah, I understand. It's the same for, that's what I just said. David and Daniel, I guess.
Okay. I mean, I think Dua and Duo are closer.
I mean, yeah, they are. All right, fine.
Yeah. All right. But, you know, what do you
it's
think?
Sad day.
Has Dua been murdered? What happened here?
No, he died waiting for you to do your Spanish lesson.
But the authorities are investigating, and they said he had many enemies.
Well, it's hard to say.
It is hard to say. Yeah.
I know I didn't kill Duo because I'm on my streak. So it's not my fault.
Could you have done more, though? That's the question.
Maybe Duo is like Tinkerbell, and you've got to do so many streaks to keep him alive. It's like you got to clap your hands to show Tinkerbell that you believe.
Yeah.
Unlike God, who does not operate that way. God does not need you to clap your hands to be alive.
Now, during the Super Bowl, they did...
I did not do my Duo during the Super Bowl.
Duo did tweet out or whatever, X'd out or whatever. I don't know how anything works anymore.
I don't understand the world.
Joining in Kendrick Lamar in the diss track of Drake. So maybe Drake killed
came
Duo.
After Duo, yeah.
Drake is coming hot against Duo.
Yeah. I will be the first one to admit that I did not understand 98% of the Super Bowl halftime show. Like, I understand there's like a whole lot of subtext that I just did not get because I'm not familiar with his music, so I just don't get it, right? But the thing that I read afterwards that Serena Williams, yeah, apparently formerly dated Drake, and so it was like dancing to a diss song during the Super, and like that was pretty epic. That like you get your enemy's ex girlfriend to come and like dance to your song that you're dissing him in, like that's solid. Bravo, man. That's props. If you're gonna throw shade, throw shade.
Didn't watch a second of the Super Bowl, and I've seen minimal clips of this online.
Yeah.
Some people hated it. Some people love it.
I don't know anything.
You know,
some people just need to keep their mouth shut about it.
But we'll keep you up to date
on the Super Bowl or on the Duo investigation.
Who killed Duo?
All right.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Yeah.
With more app mascot murder mystery theater.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk.
What are we gonna talk about today, Patrick? Not much has been going on in the world. It's been pretty calm. I don't know that we've got anything interesting to throw out there, I think.
Well, something did happen while I was on leave.
Okay.
So we didn't actually talk about it necessarily live, but it's relatively close. This was on January 29th.
Uh-oh.
We're talking about Vice President J.D. Vance.
Mm-hmm.
So he appeared on Fox News interview and said about a Christian concept.
Oh, okay.
And so...
He is a Catholic, correct?
I believe he has... become a Catholic. I don't think he's a cradle Catholic.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
And yeah, this is.
But he would currently identify as Catholic.
Yes, currently can identify as Catholic. This is from the ncronline.org.
National Catholic Register, I believe. Yeah.
That is correct.
Yes. Not a source we typically pull from.
Not typically.
Just throwing that out there, yeah.
By guest author Kat Armas. J.D. Vance is wrong. Jesus doesn't ask us to rank our love for others. But let's get into what he said. Let's start there.
All right. What did he say on Fox?
So, yeah, in this interview, there's a Christian concept that you love your family, and then you love your neighbor, and then you love your community, and then you love your fellow citizen.
Wait.
And then after that, prioritize the rest of the world. A lot of the far left has completely inverted that.
Huh. Okay.
Okay, so this is what is it? Now,
that's the quote.
Look, I know
you can go and look that up.
We're kind of back. I don't think our intent as a podcast is to be like, let's talk about what the Trump administration has done this week.
No, we're not a politics podcast. That's not what we're here
and
for.
And that's not what we want to do.
No, like, but this seems to be in our vein.
Yeah, when it has a crossover directly with Christian ideals and theories and theology, we're probably going to address it.
When the quote starts with, there is a Christian concept.
Yeah, so I know last week we talked about like the sermon and this week. This is, I don't think that this is the intent. Like,
no.
You don't have four more years of this.
Yeah.
But...
That's what we got.
If they talk about faith, we're going to have to, you know, we might address it. Because
we're a podcast where faith intersects life. And so when faith happens in real life, that's what we're talking about.
So, yeah. All right. What do you think about us?
I'm just going to say, have we never identified ourselves as a podcast where faith intersects life? Because that felt really like good and natural.
No, I agree completely.
We should write that down somewhere.
Sure, yeah.
Anyway, all right, carry on.
Yeah. So here, well, let's start with his statement.
All right.
What do you think?
All right, so yeah, I guess the quickest version is it's clearly an attack on the left, as saying that they want to love the world before they love their family, right? And they're more concerned with caring for a child in some part of, you know, Kenya or wherever than they are with caring for the child in their own home. That's the attack that's being waged with this particular statement. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's an accurate representation of any political party that I've read their statements on. So I don't think that's fair. But also, let's focus on the Christian concept here. I think it's a corruption of the Christian teaching that I think we're going to get into here a little bit, saying that we should love our family first and then we love greater circles after we love our family is not how I understand the love of God to work in our lives. And I think that's where we want to get into it.
Agreed. Yeah. When I saw this, there's a Christian concept. My first one is...
What Christian concept?
What are you talking about, man? I feel like I'm pretty well versed in Christian concepts and ideas. Look, maybe I missed it. And I also would say, I mean, I know everything the Catholics are doing, but I, you know, get at least a sense of what the Catholics are up to. I got at least a sense of what the evangelicals in America are up to.
Yeah.
I'm not so in.
We're in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm at least, you know, got my ear to the ground.
Sure.
And so, like, when they're like, this is this Christian concept. I was like, I've never heard this before in my life.
It took me a while to figure out what he was talking. When we get to the concept, I was like, okay, I remember learning about that once upon a time. But I would not have said that's what he was talking about based on what he said.
I've heard a lot of preachers from a lot of different faith denominations. Yeah. I've never heard this. I've never heard or come across like this is kind of a plan for love.
Right.
And so, and I certainly, and we'll get there, do not see this in the words and testimony of Jesus or in the Bible.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, but obviously there's been a debate about it.
Of course.
Because
he talked about a Christian concept. And,
sure.
And apparently, religious people don't always agree. That's newsflash.
All right, so here we are.
We got?
So, again, this article is by Kat Armas.
Mm-hmm.
All right, she says, many Christians rush to defend this hierarchy, citing 1 Timothy 5:8. Do you know it offhand?
No, I do not know 1 Timothy 5:8 offhand.
Yeah. Me neither. All right. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially those in their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Sure. All right. So. I'm not arguing that you shouldn't provide for your own household.
Yeah. And that's, you know, then...
That's also not what this quote is saying. But yeah, okay. We'll get there. I fully support you should provide for your own household. If you have family, children, right, you should be caring for them. I'm for it.
Agreed.
Yep.
Yeah. And
that should go up too, right? You should be caring for your parents. You should be caring for your grandparents. We should be doing more to care for our families than probably many of us are. Absolutely.
There you go. That's typically what's being kind of like the defense from scripture.
That's it.
That's what she's referencing.
All right. 1 Timothy 5:8.
Maybe there's more. I don't know. Maybe you have heard more. Maybe you think more. All right. Here. We got another one.
Okay.
Acts 1:8. Do you know that one?
Acts 1:8. Oh, goodness. I mean, that's Jesus talking to the disciples before his ascension. Does he say something about, go out and make disciples of people? That's the end of Matthew. I think it's also kind of at the beginning of Acts.
Yes. Be witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria.
Oh, you're kidding me? They're using...
To the ends of the
earth. Oh, my goodness. That is... Okay. Let's stop right here.
And so this is the blueprint of the hierarchy of love.
All right, let me back up for a minute. The pattern that Jesus is invoking here of Jerusalem, Judea, and all of the world, is that right?
Correct.
Is not meant to be in order. It's meant to show God's expansive invitation to all people. It's not meant to be, do this first, and then go here, and then go here, and don't love those people until you've loved all. Like, that is not what this is about. This is paralleling all sorts of other patterns that happen throughout the Old Testament, talking about God's expansive inclusion for the entire world, that everybody is now invited into this thing. It's no longer just for the Israelite people. This is Jesus saying, look, now you're going to go everywhere. You're not just going to go to Israel. You're going to go everywhere. Mm-hmm. And this is for all people. I didn't realize that they were like pulling that particular thread at this, and I'm a little bit fired up about that one. Sorry.
100%.
Deep breaths.
And
I'm with you.
If you also read the book of Acts, like by the end of the book, they did it.
No.
Like, well, not to say like mission accomplished,
right.
But like that pattern exists within the book of Acts.
Yeah.
And by the end of the book of Acts, they have expanded to the ends of the earth. Like
right.
Paul is
to their understanding of the
Paul
end of the
is earth. In Rome, like yep. the center of the Roman government. Yep. So like
and wanting to go to Spain, which would have been like as far as they understood the earth to go. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. So
I'm sorry, you said the mission accomplished thing, and I'm remembering back to George Bush on the airline carrier
yeah.
with the mission accomplished sign. I'm just imagining like Paul like standing in Rome with a big banner behind him. Anyway.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the
simpler times.
I think we're going to get into more of the anti, but those are some verses.
All right.
I think those are not, they don't really support what he's saying. Because like
no.
providing for your own household and for your own family, sure. This is not that though. This is, you love your
yep.
family
first. First, before you love anybody else.
Yes. And so I understand the idea of it as a human concept.
Yes.
But a Christian concept is probably where I would be like, that is going to be more suspect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because in scripture, you mm-hmm. know, the Christian ideals and the upside down kingdom that Jesus presents is contrary to the worldly kingdoms
right.
and even our yeah. our own human earthly desires and views on how the world should operate.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if J.D. Vance says, this is how I view the world.
Okay.
I would say I understand how somebody could.
And I believe you.
And would view the world that way. I generally
yes.
do. But I don't think this is the Christian concept.
No. Yeah.
You know, derived from, you know, the Bible. All right. So it is. Okay. Echoes,
mm-hmm.
a medieval concept.
Yeah.
It's a Latin phrase. You want to pronounce it for us?
I believe it's Ordo Amoris, which okay. can we just also go on the record and say that anything you say in Latin sounds like a spell in Harry Potter?
Sure. Yes.
I don't know what Ordo Amoris would allow me to do, mm-hmm. but it would be wonderful. It's Ordo Amoris, not Ordo Amoris. Anyways.
Sure. Yeah. And that means?
That means ordered love.
Yeah. Yeah. She references the Order of Charity. But
okay,
sure.
Order of Charity. Yeah.
Yeah. And offers a tribute to St. Thomas Aquinas.
Oh, I thought it was Augustine, but okay. Aquinas. I'll go with that.
I'm familiar with the name. I think I've read a little bit of his.
Yeah.
He was a big deal for his time.
Yeah.
All right.
A saint. I mean, he's got that going for him. I'm not a saint.
Yeah. And this idea is that love must be ranked, that a person rightfully prioritizes their affections with family on top. And in some ways, it sounds practical,
mm-hmm.
maybe even reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Love is not meant to be an abstract floating in the ideals without real-world engagement. The problem with this hierarchy, and this is Cadogan,
okay.
is that it feeds the myth that some people are more deserving of our care than others. It's a framework that makes sense in a world governed by scarcity and fear, where protection comes at the expense of others. But Jesus never speaks of love as something to be rationed. He speaks of love as abundance, a table where there's enough for everyone.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good stuff there, Kat.
Nice. Yeah. Nice working, Kat.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into what do we got? What are our problems here with kind of J.D. Vance's Christian
take,
concept.
With his take on the Christian concept, yeah.
yeah.
Well, so, and this is why I had thought it was actually rooted in Augustine. I did a quick search here as well. So Aquinas took the teaching that actually is older than Aquinas and put it into that kind of order in this medieval time. Backing up from that, we had Augustine even earlier in like the 3rd, 4th century, who talked about our love being ordered to match that which God loves. That the Ordo Amoris that Augustine would have been talking about would say, like, I love these things because God loves these things. And if God doesn't love these things, I don't love these things, right? Mm-hmm. So God doesn't love evil. God doesn't love hatred. God doesn't love bigotry. I don't love those things. But I love my family. I love my neighbor. I love the places where justice is being done, right? And that's how Augustine talked about it. It talked about ordering our love in alignment with what God loves, that all love radiates out from God. It mm-hmm. starts there, and that's what we align ourselves with. Aquinas is then when we got this, like, oh, well, we love here first, and then here first, and then here first. So yeah, I think there are two helpful ways to think about that. The first is, as you mentioned, as an individual, how do we practice this? Mm-hmm. And that is where I think we get our emotions tied up the most. Because the question that inevitably comes out with something like this is, well, if you had your child and somebody else's child in a burning building and you could only save one, whose would you save? Right? Sure. Which is a stupid question to ask in the first place. But if that's the question that you're going to focus on, yeah, every parent is going to reasonably say, I'm going to save my own child, right?
For sure.
I understand that. That's not how Christian principles work.
Yes.
Right? Christian principles have to guide our behavior more broadly than that. That doesn't mean that we always act perfectly in line with the Christian principle, right? Because we're all sinful, because not all Christian principles are perfect, right? No scenario is going to be perfect in that scenario. So we have to make choices. And so I don't think it's a bad thing to say, if there was a burning building and I could only save my child, I would save mine. I don't think that's a bad thing. That doesn't make you a bad Christian. But there's not a burning building, right? What there is, well, let me say that. Your child's not in the burning building, right? J.D. Vance's argument is that you should ignore the burning building where other people's children are dying because you need to keep your child out of the building and keep them safe.
Yes.
That and that to me is misunderstanding. My child is safe. I need to help other people's children, right? Mm-hmm. And perhaps the burning building is not the most helpful, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah.
You know, it's a metaphor. It's going to be flawed on some level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm making it up off the top of my head. Sure. So my head is flawed.
Yeah. I'm 100% with you. Like, great. Your household's loved already.
Yes. I do love my household.
Then maybe it is time to move on. Then.
Yeah.
You know, like, great. All right. What's next? I think oftentimes, you know, like these kinds of things are used as kind of like the smokescreen idea of like, we can't help immigrants. We've got our own homeless to deal with. And I'm like, okay, great. What do you want to do with the homeless? And the answer is nothing.
Yeah.
Like, or make it harder for them to be homeless, not actual take the money that would go towards refugee resettlement and and divert it into our, you know, our own homeless or our own veterans or anything like that. It's usually like, no, we're not going to do that either. Like, you know, like, and so it's oftentimes, I think, used as a smokescreen.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to, at least I do want to think through.
Okay.
I do want to address this idea, because, and then we'll get into what Jesus said.
I'm all for getting into Jesus.
Yeah, because he says the far left has inverted this, and I do want to come back, swing right back to that. And so I think, and I read this the other day, and I'm not going to sum this up perfectly because I don't remember everything. I have a newborn, you know, whatever.
That's all a little hazy.
And I think maybe there is a point that he's making that I think is actually reasonable if he was kind of trying to make it reasonable.
Yeah.
And I do think that people on the left have, by nature, and maybe this draws you closer to left-wing theology or
policies,
policies, is more of like an ability to, I'm going to say, imaginative empathy.
Mm.
That I can imagine what it would be like to be a refugee without actually speaking to or being one myself.
Sure.
That I could just kind of like think through these would be the fears, the hopes, the dreams, the challenges that they're going through. And I could imagine what that would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes people, and I think maybe this is kind of a mental thing, people on the right don't have quite that same imaginative empathy. And that is why sometimes you see people on the right say, like, I was against gay marriage until my kid came out of the closet.
Sure.
Like, it had to happen to them directly in order to reframe how they viewed it. In that, does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think that this is, I think, a biological thing. Some of us have greater imaginative empathies than others, and some of us don't. And this might be a thing that drives us towards different policies or different theologies and things like that. So when he says the far left inverts this, I would say maybe, I don't think it's inverting it, but I think maybe the far left has a greater sense of imagination of what it's like to be a poor person in Africa than maybe somebody who's on the right.
Yeah, well, and I think we can apply that to the Christian life too, right? I mean, if we think about how are we telling the story and how are we communicating, right? I don't think you're going to find someone in the Christian realm who's going to say, Jesus does not call us to care for the poor.
Correct.
Right? I think all of us can agree. Jesus calls us to care for the poor. So how are we, as Christians, trying to reach those with strong imaginative empathy, who can say, who can hear Jesus calls us to care for the poor and can immediately put themselves in that place and can feel that. And for people who have a lower imaginative empathy, and you know, give them something tangible that they can touch onto, right? Which is one of the reasons that for us at Lord of Life, we really do try to help people connect to individuals who are facing particular situations, right? We want people to go and serve with organizations, not just write us a check. We want you to go and build that relationship because that matters, right? And if you, I think imaginative empathy, that's hard to say.
Yeah.
Imaginative empathy, I think it can be learned, right? I think that if you have enough experiences like you described, right? My son came out as gay, or my, you know, I met a person who was suffering from homelessness, or I met a person who was wrestling with mental illness and depression, right? If you have those experiences, you can learn, oh, I remember what it was like when I met this person and my perspective was changed. What does it mean for me to imagine this situation? Sure. I think you can grow that. And I think as the church, we have a role where we can help people grow that. And this is not to say that we help people grow towards left-leaning policies. That's not the point. Right? The point is that we grow to have the empathy to imagine ourselves in a position that we are not currently in. Because I do think that is something Jesus calls us to do, is to put ourselves in the place of, what would it be like if I were this person? How would they be experiencing this? And how can I learn from that? And how can I inform my own behaviors from that?
In agreement.
Cool.
Let's see what Jesus say.
All right, Jesus, what you got?
All right. And Kat's going to reference some of these. We might come up with some challenges to J.D. Vance's Christian concept.
Okay.
So first is going to be the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Mm, okay.
And this is a great parable. I think it's very rich. It has a lot to say. I think it's, you know, if you're looking at preaching text, this is a great one because it's got a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
And there's the face level story, and then there's a lot of like hidden or more like deeper meaning that I think you can find in there too.
Yeah.
All right. So in this, somebody asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?"
Jesus tells,
"Love your neighbor." Just like the two greatest commandments are
love God, love your neighbor. Yeah.
And somebody's like, "Okay, who's my neighbor?
Who is it?"
That's like, this, because that's a good question, right?
Even Jerry.
Even Jerry. Yes. Because we want to know. I mean, as humans, we want to kind of put parameters on that love.
Absolutely.
Okay, sure. Like, okay, so what does it actually mean to love my neighbor?
Right. So like these five people, right? That's all I got to do.
So a man is being left for dead. Mm-hmm. Religious leaders pass by.
Sure.
A Samaritan, a foreigner,
a
stranger, an enemy, stops. Yep. He's the one who shows love and takes care of him. And Jesus says, "Who's the neighbor?" Basically.
Yeah.
You tell me, who's the neighbor in the story? And the guy who asked, like, can't even say the Samaritan. Like, you know, the one who showed mercy on him.
Right.
You know, like this very convoluted way. Because, like, saying a Samaritan is the good, is the hero of the story is, like,
repulsive.
Repulsive
yep.
to them. So I think that's our first one we look at, okay? You ask Jesus, in the hierarchy of love, who is my neighbor? Who does Jesus say?
Yeah. In this particular case, the neighbor is both the person in the ditch.
Yeah.
And the enemy, who's the one who's willing to help them.
100%. It has this incredible. Yeah. The neighbor is the bruised and beaten and the foreigner.
Yep.
You know, like both of them are neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, and so like you have to be like, okay, the Christian concept, who am I called to love?
Bruised and beaten and enemies.
Bruised and beaten, the foreign enemy.
Yeah.
You know? Jesus is going to challenge the idea of what love looks like in the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
Love your enemies. Pray for those who support you. And then I think this is kind of blows up this idea of like, this is the Christian concept that J.D. Vance kind of puts out there. He says, look, if you love others who love you, what reward do you get?
Yeah.
Even tax collectors are doing that. If you greet your own people who greet you, even pagans are doing that.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like, oh, you love those who
you love your children.
You love those
you love your family.
And your family.
Yeah.
Big whoop.
Congratulations.
That's baseline humanity.
It's like you exist. Good job.
Yeah. Like that's not a special, you're not, you know, an incredibly loving and kind human because you love your family.
Right.
That's baseline. And not say you shouldn't love your family or you shouldn't love your kids.
Right.
But like, yeah, big whoop. Everyone does that.
Yeah.
That's not special. Like, you know, the countercultural love that Jesus asks us to do is not baseline humanity. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be different.
Yeah.
And so again, if a human concept that J.D. Vance would put out, I would say, yeah, I think that's a natural human progression. You love those that are closest to you because they're closest to you.
But Jesus kind of says that's not that.
But that's not how Jesus operates. Yeah. That's baseline again. Yeah. Everybody should be following that.
Yeah.
And then finally, some guy's like, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers.
Your mama. I'm sorry.
Are here to speak with you.
Very 90s of me. I'm sorry.
They're here to speak with you.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, nah, hear my mother and brothers.
Yeah.
To the crowd. Mm-hmm. For whoever does the will of my father is my brother and sister in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you look at Jesus.
Not that concerned with nuclear family. Yeah.
This is not this. And again, I'm not saying you should be blowing off your mom.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus does care for his mom, right? I mean, on the cross, Jesus points to his mom and to the disciple whom he loved and says, this is your son, this is your mother, right? He's making sure that his mother is cared for in his death.
Yes.
He loves and cares for his family. But in this story, Jesus is clearly saying, my family is not bound by biology, right? The family of God is broader than that. And doing the will of God is what makes you a part of my family. And so we love the people who do the will of God. We love the stranger. We love the end, right? Those are the people that Jesus goes after.
Yes. Yeah. So I think it's pretty clear. This is not how Jesus operates. Yeah. And if the goal of the Christian concept of love is to be like Jesus, following J.D. Vance's pattern is not how things should operate.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't mean sell your kids' toys and, you know, give them to, you know, some stranger on the street. Like, right. That's not what this means.
Yeah.
But phrasing it this way, that whatever love is left over goes towards, you know, those others out there is a love that is limited.
Yes.
I do like her ending here.
Okay, what's Kat got for us?
She says, if we find ourselves asking, who is my neighbor, we are already missing the point.
Mm.
The better question is, how do I love without limits? And that's her finale.
Nice line.
And I agree. I think we already asked the question of Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered it.
Yeah.
The broken and the foreigner, that's your neighbor. You know, you got to expand out who you think your neighbor is.
Yeah.
And then so now, like, we know that's my neighbor. And so I think now's the question. How do I love without limits? How do I, you know, have a greater love than I thought possible for this world and for my family and for those on the outskirts?
Yeah.
You
know? I do think that's the right question. And I think that's a much more difficult question to answer, both broadly and as individuals, right? Because Is it love to send $10 to an organization every month and sponsor a child somewhere, right? Is that love?
It could be.
It could be. I don't know. But, like, those are the things that we have to figure out. I can love my kids every day by giving them hugs, by feeding them, by encouraging them, by being there in that space. I can't do that for the people who live around the world. So how do I love people who are not physically in my space and who I potentially can't touch with my own resources, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the reasons that we need the church. I also think this is one of the things that government could be doing and in many ways was doing until this administration has shut down a lot of those policies, at least on a temporary status for the moment, right?
Sure.
All right, we'll talk about Lutheran Social Services for a minute, right? Lutheran Social Services was tweeted out by General Michael Flynn saying that they were money laundering organizations, and he showed a picture of a spreadsheet with numbers on it as evidence.
Yes, he's Lutheran in quotes, which was, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Another little kick in the
Another dig. Another dig. Like, come on, man. So this quote is coming out. And so Lutheran Social Services and Catholic Social Services and Jewish, like all of these religious affiliated social service organizations have had their funding cut, right? I mean, it's not like, you know, temporary or not like just like, hey, we're going to cut back 10%, but like stopped. Like, you're not getting any more money until we do this, whatever, right? And they've been accused of money laundering and this other stuff in a tweet. Right. But they're there receiving these government grants because at one point the government realized these religious organizations across faith spectrums, these religious organizations are better at caring for the poor, caring for the needy, caring for the elderly, caring for the orphan, caring for the widow, right? They're better at doing that than the government is. So let's take government money and let them do that good work on our behalf, right? They are doing the thing mm-hmm. that we as Christians are called to do, and we've been allowing our tax dollars to go to that purpose. Now, we can have a debate about whether or not that's how we want our government to fund things, right? But as Christians, we cannot let that stop happening. As people who follow Jesus, we can't stand by and say, oh, we don't have to care for the people who are hungry and poor anymore, right? We can have a debate about the government's role.
Yeah.
But if you think the government should not be funding that, then I want you to step up and write a check to Lutheran Social Services in your area, right, like today, because that's what we need to do, right? Mm-hmm. And we need to be able to support these organizations that are supporting the poor and the hungry and the outcast, because that's what Jesus calls us to do.
Yeah.
At a baseline, that's what Jesus calls us to do. And that's not to say you have to take the toy, as you said, right? You don't have to take the toy out of your child's hand to do it, but we all have a role in doing that.
Yeah, and, you know, if Vice President J.D. Vance, you know, said, like, I think this is kind of a human concept, or this should be the American way as we care for ours first before going out in the world. You know, like, I might disagree, but, like, we probably aren't doing a podcast on this.
Nope.
But I think tying that as the Christian concept is what irks me. Because you might agree with the kind of American concept of, like, we need to care for ours first and then worry about the rest of the world. You might agree with that. And I would say, like, maybe you have a valid reason to care, to think that way. I might disagree with that, but I think you could have valid points. This is why we need to do X things. But to say, but we're doing that because of Jesus.
That is a hard sell.
And that's why we wanted to kind of address this
on
the podcast. I don't, you know, cuts for USAID, cuts for within social services. I don't agree with any of those things.
Right.
But, you know, but by saying we're cutting those things because of our Christian concept, I think that's what really ultimately puts the most salt in the wound. And you might, as a listener, might think you should love your family first and then your neighbor and then your community and then your outside world. You know, that's fine. But don't put that on Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is going to say, great, everyone does that.
Yeah.
Pagans do that.
Mm-hmm.
Big whoop. Yeah. So.
Quote from Jesus. Big whoop.
Quote from Jesus. Yeah. Big whoof.
Yeah. It's a loose translation of the original Greek there. Yeah. All right. This is good. I feel like I got a little preachy today, so I just want to. Sorry.
That's okay.
I apparently had some pent up feelings about this.
Maybe it's good. Elisa's gone. Not that her wisdom would not have been appreciated, but there was more time to get preachy.
Yeah, more time for me to stand on my soapbox and yell into my microphone.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode, you can find all our Beyond Sunday episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com, and of course, send us your thoughts on. I don't know. What do we want to talk about today? What do you think?
Who killed Duo?
Who killed Duo? That's better. That's better than anything I was coming up with. Who do you think killed Duo? Send us your evidence, beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
I don't know. If it's connected with Duo Lipa, maybe Ice got him.
Yeah, there it is. That's a joke that the kids get.
I don't think we have a lot of kids listening to.
Well, then I don't think a lot of our listeners got it.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday. It's tough to remember how things go.
It's hard.